and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything Entertainment.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, everybody. Everybody say hey. Hey, girl.
Okay, so can we, before we go forward, can we go backwards?
Sure.
Dawn, hell of a dirt alert, by the way.
Yeah,
thank
that's
you.
Great.
Oh, man.
As always.
That's award-winning.
So, as we talk about Comic-Con, they said we're going virtual again this year for the second year in a row, because they have just a ton of people that descend in this one little part of San Diego, and it's crazy. So, let's keep it local. The State Fair happens essentially 1 month after Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And instead of 3 days, we do 12 days of 100,000+ every day, 200,000+ on the weekends. If you had to bet a paycheck right now, here are your three options. The State Fair happens.
Mm.
Per normal, buy your tickets, go to the State Fair. And they think that maybe it'll self-regulate based on people who would want to be in a crowd and people who wouldn't. Option two is it does not happen. Option three is it happens with capacity limits. You had to bet a paycheck. Only one of those could be right. Where would you put your money?
I think capacity limits, and I think there's going to be circles everywhere for lines where it's like, stay 6 feet apart. Everybody has to stand on their circle. And yeah. I think there's going to be people patrolling that. I don't know. I think people have people already bought tickets for shows? That's what I'm concerned about. If people pre-purchase tickets for acts at the grandstand, how are they going to manage that?
Right.
I don't know, Steve. I don't think it looks good. I really don't.
Saying.
But, you know, maybe, because it's almost fall when it happens. And by then, maybe we'll have some herd immunity.
It's like 45 days after Comic-Con, I think. I think Comic-Con, if I remember correctly, I feel like that's a July thing.
July 23rd to 25th.
So it's a month later.
I have to say, though, I think it's easier to plan it this year that way rather than have it planned at some convention hall and then have to change the plan last minute.
Right.
So why not start there? So you don't have to, you know, give yourself all that hassle as a planner.
Well, and remember, there, Comic-Con is also, we are the United States of America, but ooh, our states are very different. All of them. Very, very different. California, Gavin Newsom, running a different sort of an operation out there than we are here in Minnesota. So there are many more limitations that have been in place in California than virtually any other state. New York has rivaled it at times, but California has led the way on lockdown. So maybe Comic-Con folks just say, well, there's no way that we're going to be able to pull this off with the current limitations and where we would go. So let's just scrap it, do it virtual, come back bigger and better than ever in 2022. But, you know, you have different leadership in different states. And so maybe that's why something could happen with the State Fair.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. We were talking about this yesterday. So, you know, we're coming up on a year since the world, as we say, shut down.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming up on a one-year anniversary of that. And do you remember how naively at the beginning, when the NBA stopped?
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, the NBA's not going to play games for like a week or so.
Right.
And then they'll figure this out and keep on moving forward. And we really thought maybe this will just be a couple weeks. Maybe Broadway's just shut down for 3 or 4 weeks.
And here we are. Really feeling so pent up.
Yes,
in the first couple of weeks, in the first month, we were like, I can't believe we're going through this.
Do you remember? I remember us saying on the air, because what could you do? It's your first time living through a pandemic. And so we were saying things like, we've been on lockdown for 3 weeks now. It's 3 weeks we've been living like this. And here we are almost 365 days later with light at the end of the tunnel. But depending on what day, the light looks brighter some days and dimmer other days.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I thought I just wanted to get the show started on a general tone of bleakness regarding the pandemic what it's turned into.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We just got to keep supporting our local businesses.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
You're right. I'm trying to order food now more.
Yes.
I'm trying to stop and pick up food more, at least as far as restaurants go. You know, it's just, it's a thing.
I heard a stat yesterday to keep the good times rolling. Jim Cramer from Mad Money. said, if I heard him correctly, said 150,000 restaurants have closed in the last year as a result of the pandemic.
Oh my gosh.
150,000.
That's horrible.
So,
however, please continue to wear your masks.
There you go.
And
social distance.
Yes. Do all the things you're supposed to do, because this stuff is real.
Yes. And think of, as we talk about these local businesses, they've gone to great lengths to try to figure out, you know, they were not versed in any of this stuff. And they've all put their best heads together and said, how can we do this in a way that people can do this safely? And so they've gone to these great lengths. And so respect that when you're there. Don't be the person that puts up a fuss and says, I decided I didn't want to follow your rules and take my mask off in your store. Just wear it. Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, just be a good person. Care about other people. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we got to go now. No, man, I have a quick update. I have a quick update on Golden Globes, a little recall explanation on a couple of things. Remember Jason Sudeikis was wearing that hoodie?
Yes.
The sweatshirt?
Yeah, a lot of people talking about it.
It was, I guess it was a tie-dye sweatshirt, and some people thought maybe it was some kind of product placement. He was just showing some love to his sister.
Aww.
The hoodie is his sister's dance and workout space in New York. And I don't know what it said, but he says it's a nice hoodie as much as a nice message.
Well, how wonderful.
And people also thought he was high because his acceptance speech was all over the place.
Oh, I think he was just shocked to win.
Yeah, I think so, too. And also, the video conferencing was coming from England, so that's going to create, you know, a delay and all sorts of weird...
Yeah, he's 3 hours later, right? England, yes. From the East Coast.
Is it three? I thought it was five.
Is it five?
Yeah, it's five. Because
no,
it's six.
Six.
Yes.
It's six here.
Is it really?
I think so.
Oh, my gosh. Well, then all the more.
I know,
right? Excuse for JJ.
And then finally, one other thing. Okay, so we all know about this Jodie Foster, Aaron Rodgers thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when Aaron Rodgers recently won an award, he just was like thanking people, just like blah, 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 Jodie Foster, blah, 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 blah. And then Jodie Foster did the same thing when she won her Golden Globe and was like, I want to thank so-and-so and so-and-so and my wife, Aaron Rodgers, and blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, what is going on?
What's going on?
So some people thought it had to do with Shailene Woodley because she recently got engaged to Aaron and she is a co-star in Jodie Foster's movie.
Right, yes.
Which just won the Golden Globe, but it's kind of still a mystery, because she's saying that they don't know one another. They've never met. Jodie and Aaron have never met. But she's a huge Packers fan. So I think she gives the Packers a lot of love.
Yes.
And as a result, he's, you know, thanking her. And there is that connection with his fiance and her.
There's still something else to this that we don't
think
know.
So?
Yeah, we're on the outside. There's an inside joke happening that we don't know.
Hmm. She said sometimes she talks a little bit too much about the Green Bay Packers. I would have to agree. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I don't have any skin in the game. So, all right, Steve, we'll follow that story closely in the newsroom.
Yeah.
Okay?
We have a reporter on it. So right any updates, okay. Aaron Rodgers, Jodie Foster, will let you know. It's a Confession Tuesday. Our Facebook question is our confession. What's an annoying habit that your significant other has? We think that this could be a really cathartic experience for a lot of people today. I have audio of mine that I got at 10:55 p.m. last night.
Oh, no.
I have audio of it, yes. Ooh. So we'll dig into that. Confessions comes up at 11:30 today. When we come back, we've got some things that make you go, huh, that's coming up next on Donna and Steve on My Talk. Hey, Donna.
Hey, Steve, when did you get here?
I've been here the whole time. Hey, I want to talk with you about my underwear again, if I may.
Oh, God.
All right, listen, you know that I love my chill boys. They are bamboo boxer briefs, but here is what's happening. I've loved them from the first time that I put them on my legs, instantly felt the difference, so cool and so comfortable. So now, anytime that I have to put on some stupid underwear that aren't chill boys, I feel like an idiot.
You should. What? You should. They are a local company offering great men's underwear. But can I point out, Steve, that ladies, if you're tired of thongs making you feel like you've got a constant wedgie, might I suggest you get yourself a pair of soft bamboo boxers from Chill Boys?
I've always said that I would never wear a thong, but I'll tell you this. if my buddies at Chill Boys made a thong, I'd try it on. I'm just saying, I would try it on. Hey, if you want more information, you can go to chillboys.com.
Chill Boys, comfort where it counts. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, everything entertainment. Donna Valentine and Steve Patterson. He's got a whole bag full of fun facts that you're just not going to be able to do anything with.
That's
but
true.
Listen anyway. Things that make you go. You could annoy all your friends.
That is that for sure. Guy. Stuck at a bus stop. Trying to strike up conversation on Metro Transit's Green Line?
No.
This will do it. Light rail, whatever.
Oh, boy.
Okay. You thought you knew nothing about kidney transplants. I bet you 95% of those listening did not know this. When you get a kidney transplant, the doctors usually don't remove your own failing kidney. Get this worthless thing out of here. Instead, they just leave it there, and they put your new kidney in your pelvis.
Oh.
Why don't they take it out? The bad one. Marie Kondo, that spark joy. Bye.
That's a good follow-up question for you.
Spark too. Some joy. Get this old thing out of here.
Yeah, it's not doing anything
what?
For me. They should have a, don't they have like a surgery bagster anyway? They get rid of stuff all the time. What do they do with the waste from surgeries?
I think there's bags.
But where do the bags go? Just into a normal landfill? Like there's an old toaster and someone's...
I'm going to guess that they put them in an incinerator.
I feel like you might be right.
I think that the medical students first deal with them.
Yeah.
And then they...
Oh, you mean they
do some
cadaver stuff?
Yeah, it's like they put them in some jars filled with formaldehyde or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. You know, this is fun, just guessing.
My grandmother just got her toe amputated.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
And she said, I'm going to miss it. It's been with me... this whole time, actually, her whole life, she's had that toe. And she asked my parents, should I keep it? Now, they told her no, as best I understand. And I see this as such a missed opportunity. My brother Josh had kidney stones last year.
Oh,
he saved one of the kidney stones and gave it to my sister for Christmas. She opened this box,
God.
And it was like, he's like, I wanted to give you a piece of me. You've meant so much to me. And it was his actual kidney stone, to which I thought my grandma had a wonderful opportunity to say, Josh, I was so moved last year by what you did for Janie. He opens a box there on a chain that he could wear around his neck is grandma's toe.
Or his neck.
Wouldn't that have been great? Or his neck.
And then he could
matter.
Say, I just got toed.
Oh.
Okay. Like... All right.
You know, like on the side of the road, dad joke.
Yeah. Okay. Here, I'll check in with her. I'll send her a toast message.
No, that doesn't work. My joke was better.
What day of the week is Christmas next year? Toasday? All right, just chill out.
Oh, no.
God, you're such a Tommy Topper.
Let's say these were ones I'd already worked out on the family thread. You know, we'd already had a family text message. I already threw out my toast message, the Toesday. I'd really gone through the best, but I had not thought of I just got toed. Let's all learn a word together. Hawaii, or a'ae, their state fish is the humu humu nuku nuku apua'a.
Oh.
Humu humu nuku nuku apua'a. It's spelled
oh God
H-U-M-U, H-U-M-U, N-A-K-U-N-U, K-U-A, P-U-A, apostrophe, A.
Is that for real?
Truly, it's their state fish. What'd you catch? Some crappies, a bass, and a humu humu nuku nuku apua'a. Cool, man. See you later.
Are you watching The Young Rock?
No.
What are you doing?
You call yourself
a fan?
Larry, if you smell. Listen, I watched The Social Dilemma.
Okay.
That counts for my TV watching for the week.
Okay, fine.
How about the most valuable stamp in the world? Donna, let me ask it a different way. Donna, are you interested in stamps?
No, I'm not. Thank you. Just to mail my bills. That's it.
Well, the most valuable stamp in the world is a 1 cent 1856 British Guiana stamp. It sold at an auction a few years ago for $9.5 million. A 1 cent stamp sold for $9.5 million. There are so many dumb things that rich people do. So many dumb things. Do you know how much that thing's really worth?
A penny?
A penny. But some rich idiot has it framed in a shadow box right now in his billiards room and tells people the story. At the end of humanity, whenever that comes, I would like there to be several PowerPoints on a variety of different topics. One of them, I hope, is things you paid too much for or things that weren't worth it.
Steve.
Yes?
It's all very subjective, you know? One man's trash is another man's treasure. Yeah.
Are you standing up now for the rich blowhard who spent $9.5 million on a one-cent stamp? Just want to make sure I'm tracking right.
I guess not.
All right.
Take back.
Okay. Yeah, right. This is great. Let's talk about the Magic 8-Ball, the only source of future wisdom. It actually failed when it first came out. This was back in the 1940s because it wasn't an 8-Ball originally. It was just a regular ball called the Psycho Seer. But there was a billiards company in Cincinnati that commissioned a line of them. They looked like 8-Balls, and then they took off. Isn't an 8-Ball a drug reference as well?
Yeah, I think it's a cocaine thing.
Give me an 8-Ball of that?
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet, sweet
snow. It's like a measurement, I guess.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Stop making me out to look like the druggie on the
She always staff. Falls for the trap. Yeah, specifically referencing cocaine that's come from the Eastern Seaboard, to be specific.
We used to have a Magic 8-Ball in here for a long time.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
I used to ask it questions all the time.
And now this about tornadoes. This is really interesting. About 75% of the tornadoes in the world happen here in these United States of America. 75% of them happen here. There are parts of the world they don't even know what you're talking about when you say tornado.
That's crazy.
Isn't that weird?
Yes. Yes, Queen. All right. When we come back, Ellen is selling her home. You know how we like to look at homes around here.
Yes.
I'll link that up for everybody. And something interesting happened on The Voice yesterday that made Blake Shelton look a little dumb. We'll get to that. You know, these days, it can feel like we're stuck in our houses and looking for a safe escape. Well, good news. The Y is open and safer than ever. They have a helpful tool on their site that tells you how busy each location is, and they do extensive cleaning throughout the day. Plus, you can take virtual Y fitness classes wherever you like. And you can earn a free month if you join by March 18th. Go to ymcanorth.org. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. We love to look at celebrity homes on this show.
Yeah.
Apparently, Ellen is selling the home that she bought from Adam Levine.
That is right. Yes, she bought it for $45 million in 2019. It is 10,000 square feet.
What?
This is in Beverly Hills. It's a two-story huge home. And some of the features, it has a resort-style pool, an outdoor kitchen and pizza oven.
Have you looked at the pictures, Steve?
I looked at a different one that she listed for $45 million in Santa Barbara and was gobsmacked by what I saw. Really stunning. What? Now let me...
Yeah, this one is, you can find this at TMZ.
Yeah, and she's putting it on for $53.5 million. That's a good increase.
Right. So she's selling it for $53 million. If somebody buys it, she's going to make about $10 million profit just in a couple of years. It has an indoor gym, a spa, complete separate guest house, a dining room, of course, sunken tennis court, built-in bar.
I love it. Really nice walls and ceilings. It's modern. I like modern.
I feel like it's a little, maybe it's just because it's staged.
Yes.
It feels a little cold.
You know, modern can lean that way. It's really important that you like soften the look of a modern home.
Absolutely. Like do a hybrid. Like
yeah.
Traditional mm-hmm. with a modern.
Here's what Stevie was loving. Have you seen the theater room?
Yes, that's my favorite part, and the shower.
I like that a lot.
I didn't see the shower. No. I'm on the LA Times. I'm not on TMZ.
Okay.
I should get over there. It's just so pretty, the fire pit.
Fire pit, that's awesome. Those chairs are really cool.
And the viewing room, or the movie room, it's not like your typical movie room where you have rows of seats.
No, big, full U-shaped sectional.
Unless you're really sitting nice. On the end.
That's the spot. No, I picture three people just laying down.
Okay.
And then there's a big fluffy chair. We'll definitely have this linked up for everybody.
Okay, now wait, ladies. I want you to take a look at another of Ellen DeGeneres's
Spaces
and Places. All right, hang on. I'm going to put the link in.
Okay.
All right, I just put it right down there in that old blocky walkie.
Okay, I'm clicking.
And this...
They're really into real estate. Oh, I like this one much better.
I don't love the furniture here, but the beams, the stone wall, the wood fireplace, really, really cool look. It's almost like a wine cellar as a house. Look at the kitchen. Look at the kitchen.
Oh.
Donna, that's like your kitchen. Long, giant island.
That looks, that's a...
I assure you, my kitchen looks nothing like this.
Look at the sunroom that looks out to the pool. Oh,
how about that room?
You can play chess or not.
And is that the ocean in the distance?
Yes, Queen.
Because can I say this about Ellen's other house?
Mm-hmm.
That yard? For $53.5 million,
I agree.
I want a big A-double snakes yard. It's not that. But this sunroom situation, this Santa Barbara estate... Man.
I like this one better than the other one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It's the ceilings and the wood. It just feels
creates
warmer.
The warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're right.
Love it.
Oh my gosh. Again, we'll link all this up so you can ooh and ah as well. Interesting. So Adam Levine lived in that first one. That feels more Adam Levine.
Yeah. The bathroom really bothers me in the Adam Levine house. It's very just industrial looking.
Oh,
like the sink is, it just looks like
a public restroom,
granite, but it's just very boxy and like a trough almost. I don't know.
To each his own. I mean, I wouldn't turn that house away if someone said, hey, do you want this house?
Oh, for sure.
I'd probably go, yes, I do. I do indeed.
This is like when we say, you know, he's too muscular. I have a feeling that if you were being held by that person, you might not be such a critic. Just like if we were in the Adam Levine bathroom, we'd probably be good with it.
That's fair.
Swap it out.
That's fair, Steve.
I don't know.
I will give you that. So anybody checking out The Voice?
No.
Premiered last night, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Well, last night, I started to watch it and I went, no, I'm not going to get sucked into this. I'm going to wait a little bit. Maybe I'll dabble tonight. I don't know. You don't know me.
Just pop in from time to time. You don't feel like you're behind if you don't see everything.
True. But there's always like some kind of fun twist somewhere during the auditions. And last night on The Voice, Blake and John turned their chairs for this guy named Pete Morose, 45-year-old guy from Nashville. And wait till you hear what happened.
What is your name and where are you from?
Pete Morose, 45, Nashville, Tennessee. I sang under a name, Pete Mitchell.
I know. Oh my God.
I was in this group called the Young Riders.
I was in a group also called the Young Riders with Pete.
Oh my God.
You stole my bass player.
Your bass player a job.
You're in a group with him and doesn't remember
No, I haven't seen this guy in 25 years.
I think the best way to get back at him for stealing your bass player would be to disappoint him and join Team Legend.
No, we're just all going to get the old group back together.
Pete, who do you pick as your coach?
I got to go with the old cowboy.
Yeah!
That's cool.
I know. That is really fun.
Yeah.
I love Blake.
He's really funny.
He is.
He's really sweet.
I recall, when I went to the Blake Shelton concert. I believe I left super early, but I remember he came out at the beginning and said something along the lines of, he had a cup, a plastic opaque cup. I think there may have been liquor in it.
And he said,
are y'all ready for me to melt your face off with 3 hours of country music? And then the place went nuts. And it was like Blake Shelton and Friends, I think, was the concert. And I just thought, boy, he has got 30,000 or 20,000 people wrapped around his finger because he feels like your buddy who made it big.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
I feel like a lot of country artists are that way. They're just, you know, a lot of them are farmers, grew up on a farm. They're very humble. They just love music and people. And, you know, he's just chill.
A down-to-earth guy.
Yeah.
Was it a good concert?
Yeah. Steve liked the opening act better.
Yeah. What was that guy's name? He was fun. But, yeah, I leave concerts super early, though, Dawn, so I can't,
traffic,
like...
You know? Yeah, I am there.
Just there for a little bit.
I get you.
Get there for a little bit.
We had fun.
Were you at that one?
Yes, Steve. I was.
You don't remember.
No.
And by the way, it didn't exactly go down the way he said.
Isn't that how he came out and said that? I'm going to mail
wasn't
your money hall.
Wait, was I?
I don't think
there?
You were at that concert,
maybe
Donna.
Wait.
Donna, due to PTSD from her hee haw honky tonk days, legally only has to attend one listener concert.
No.
And I went to two country concerts in a year.
I know.
And one time it was just me and Ryan Perpich. Just there.
Oh my gosh.
Getting our bro on.
Date. Yeah.
Listen, I've been to enough of those shows. I've probably seen Blake 24 times.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
Oh my lord.
But I think I was on a plane now that you bring it up.
On a plane?
I was on my way back from like seeing my family.
Oh, I thought you meant you saw a Blake Shelton concert on a
private
plane, like
tour.
A private concert. Yep. I'm like, Donna.
No.
Must be nice.
Whatever. No, I've been to
You're
a few
like,
of those,
on,
too.
Hold on, I got to go to the Tiny John. Don't sing.
No, but that does happen sometimes. There's like private shows like that on like buses or airport hangars, things like that.
Yeah, I did a hangar tour with Jay-Z. Why am I making it sound like I performed
it?
Yeah, we used to tour together. No, there was a contest that I called in and rapped to Big Pimpin', and I won the rap contest. It was me and three
really?
Other people. And it was on some sports station in L.A., and then I won the tickets, and
oh
then,
my God,
but
see?
Then I bailed on it, and I ended up giving them to. I had a friend who was a diehard Jay-Z fan, and it was this hangar tour, and so he went. I never even went. I really should have gone to that because that would have been a pretty cool,
Whoa.
Intimate setting for a Jay-Z
You're a
concert.
Good friend.
No. It was not out of virtue. It was I don't care what the plans are. If there are any plans that we have on Saturday at 5 o'clock, I'm thinking. Is there a way that we cannot do this?
Yep.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Me too.
It could be meet your idol.
Oh my God.
And for whatever reason, it's like I'm a piece of metal and the couch is a magnet.
It's crazy because in my 20s, I needed to be everywhere. Hmm. And now I don't want to go anywhere.
Even in my 30s, I was that way.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I was like in my mid 40s that I settled down and I'm like, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm tired.
Guys, I legitimately settled down in my early 20s.
I know.
I mean, I don't even know when, Donna, you referenced, you know, I was going out all the time. I don't even know. I don't know what it's like. I've been to 9 concerts in my whole life. You just said you've been to 20 plus of Blake Shelton alone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been to so many festivals, probably 50, 60 times.
Me too. Music radio.
Yeah.
I think I really started going crazy when my daughter turned 18 and I was 35. I'm like, oh my
like,
God,
Ponte.
Now I get a chance to do whatever. Ponte. I was insane.
That's when you start living.
For about 6 years. And then I moved to Minnesota.
Right.
Wow.
Oh, man. You guys, before we take a pause,
yeah,
we should let people know we're doing something really cool.
It might even be ill-advised. I don't even know if we have the money to back this up.
Oh my God.
No, we do.
It's
we
so
do.
Cool,
it's the
though.
Biggest prize we've ever given
it's
out,
it's the My Talk app $10,000 pick your prize contest. And what you need to do first and foremost is download our app and then register every day because starting next Monday, we're going to be giving away 2 qualifying prizes of $100 when we call your name. Okay, that's at 8:20 and 5:20.
Okay,
8:20 a.m. 5:20 p.m.
That sounds doable. We can dish out $100 a couple times a day. That's doable.
Yes, that automatically makes you a qualifier for the grand prize. And then on March 30th, Steve, one lucky winner from everybody who qualifies will be chosen to pick a $10,000 grand prize. prize package.
This is unbelievable. You could choose from prizes like a Sea-Doo watercraft, a family trip to Disney World, a $10,000 Rosedale Center shopping spree, and a whole lot more. You can see a full list of the Pick Your Prize options at mytalk1071.com. Register on the app. Download it today if you don't already have it. Yeah, download it, sign up. Good luck.
Do it. Do it. When we come back, if you see something, you should say something. There's a woman who painted her neighbor's goat. People are saying something about that, and she's facing felony charges. Got that on the way in another animal story, keeping with the theme. A plane makes an emergency landing because of a cat. Wait till you hear this story, too. Coming up next on My Talk. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1. Everything entertainment. And stories that are kind of whack.
Hey, if you see something, say something. Oh, that is catchy, huh?
Time for If You See Something, Say Something with Donna and Steve.
If you see something, say something. Come on and party tonight.
We love goats on this show.
Yes. Big, big pro goat family.
Yep. Love them, love them, love them. Well, let's go to Alabama.
Do we have to?
Yep.
All right.
There's a woman who was arrested for animal cruelty after she took her neighbor's goat and painted it without permission, according to officials. Her name is Erica Marie Farmer. She's 34 years old. She looks like, you know, a normal neighbor.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like a goat stealer.
No, she actually doesn't. Okay. But she is, so she's facing a felony and she's also facing a second charge of theft of property. So this is what is being said, that she took the goat from a neighbor's property and brought it to her house to show her child. At some point, she decided to paint the animal and post the photos to her social media account.
What?
When the goat's owner noticed it was missing, they called a different neighbor who said,
unbelievable.
Hey, we saw it over at what's-her-face's, Erica Marie Farmer's place. That's when they said they saw it online. So the owner goes and sees it. She has a different side of the story. She says she would never hurt an animal. She says that she just thought it was a wandering goat. I think we have a little bit of her defending herself here.
Mm-hmm. It was a simple prank, and it was harmless. I would never hurt an animal at all, ever. And I didn't know that it was the neighbor's goat because it was always at my cousin's house. So the fact that charges got pressed and now I'm facing felony charges is a little ridiculous, I think.
I don't know what her intent was. You know, based on the investigation, the deputy certainly felt it was enough probable cause, enough information to charge her with what she is charged with.
Well, done.
I just, you know, why are you going to paint it?
I mean, its toenails are painted. Oh. It's like a bluish green. What she did was she used a shampoo.
Okay.
That, you know, a lot of young people are doing these, and older people, you know, to get that blue in your hair.
Oh, sure. It's temporary.
Yes. Okay. So she did that to the little, he looks like a pygmy goat.
Uh-huh.
And
I do feel better about it being washout shampoo.
Yeah. Not
as opposed
like latex.
To like, yeah, eggshell.
Yes.
Paint.
Yes. But it wasn't her goat. Like,
so
I
do you have
like,
to ask permission then to paint someone else's pet, to be clear?
I think so.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, even if you just thought it's not a wandering goat. Clearly that goat belongs to somebody. I don't know. Would you be okay with someone doing that to your dog?
I always thought highlights would be an interesting look. But probably not. Yeah, I guess I'd want to be at the salon with him.
Yeah. It's not their goat to paint.
Stop painting other people's goats.
But don't let your goat wander. I'd also like to make that point. If it wanders so much that you don't even know where it lives.
Right.
Or that it has an owner.
Good point. Good point. Everybody do your part. Okay. Here's another story that involves an animal. This was a flight in the Middle East that had to make an emergency landing last week because the pilots got attacked by a feral cat.
All right. See this?
It was a feral cat. It's not like a house cat. It snuck on board while the plane was being cleaned. It had to make an emergency landing, you guys.
What?
It. So this cat just started, got into the cockpit, started attacking the pilot.
No!
And it took off from Sudan last Wednesday. It was headed to Qatar.
We let that go, but look up the pronunciation.
30 minutes in, the cat came out of nowhere and started attacking the captain.
Oh, no.
So then all these crew members start trying to catch it, but they couldn't. And then it started attacking them, too. Oh. So they eventually had to turn around and go back to the airport. And as crazy as it sounds, it's not the first time something like this happened.
What?
In 2004... we are hearing that someone's cat escaped from its carrier on a flight from Belgium to Austria, got into the cockpit, attacked the co-pilot, and forced that plane to land. It's just probably acting out of fear, you know, and the noise, and it's crazy. But
always the solution to this, always carry a can of tuna on a flight.
Yes, good idea, Dawn.
Because the minute they hear that can opener.
Right?
They're coming.
Yeah.
Just don't open it until you see the cat, because you're... the person sitting next to you is not going to.
Well, I was going to say also a good way to, like on a Southwest situation, pick your own seats. You see someone coming toward you, crack that open. By the way, Donna, really nice job. Listen to this.
Qatar.
Thank you.
You did it.
Thanks, Steve.
I think I've heard some people pronounce it Qatar.
Qatar.
No, they don't.
Qatar.
No, I really, I'm really proud of you.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, if you're fancy,
where is it though? Qatar. That's the question.
The Middle East?
Yeah, we're specific.
Yeah, don't ask me things like that.
Qatar. By the way,
I just typed in geography. That's it in the internet. Like I was going to get an answer.
I have been doing some really bad searches recently. I'm spitballing here. I think that Qatar. I think it's like a peninsula in the east of Arabia. I'm trying to think of a map in my head. I think it borders the Persian Gulf and Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
That's actually a strategic location. It's near major petroleum deposits. And I think it occupies like 11,437.
Are you just reading all this?
You are such a
beehole. I can't believe it took you guys that long.
Oh my God. I'm like, really? I'm looking at a map right now. I know it's a very rich country, but how does he know all of this?
He's like, and I think they might have a population of 100,000.
That's according to the 2010 census, if I remember.
Yes.
I don't know how to use the word peninsula in a sentence on my own. What is a peninsula? They're saying Qatar is a peninsula. I thought a peninsula was water, not land.
Well, it's land that juts out into water.
Sticks out. Like
juts
out.
It
looks like a thumb.
Yeah, like Florida.
Florida.
Orange juice.
I talked to my friend from Florida yesterday.
What did you guys talk about?
We talked about a house he wants to buy, but there was an 8-foot alligator sunning itself in the back pond. He goes, here's the real estate listing. And I go, nope, you lost me at alligator.
It comes with adorable local wildlife.
Oh, yeah.
You know how real estate listings get.
Yeah, right, Steve?
Charming one-bedroom home.
Yes, totally lying. Oh, Dawn, thank you.
Hey, no problem.
All right, Dawn.
Guys, when we come back, we'll have a dirt alert with Grant. And also, Taylor Swift is mad at Netflix.
Oh, she's mad at everybody.
She's letting them know.
Okay.
I really want your opinion on this whole situation. We'll get to that when we come right back on My Talk.